All right, here we go. The national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Tons to get into around the league.
Newsy weekend.
Oh, it's been awesome. Awesome. We are live on Sportsnet, of course, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Also highlighted this weekend, the Battle of Alberta.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you guys, I mean, it was fun. Oh, it was fun. It had that edge.
Can I have a complaint?
Oh, sorry, man. Go ahead.
Just a complaint of the jerseys. Look, there's those outdoor jerseys. They're way too busy. You have two of the most beautiful.
I like the Calgary one.
Oh, you're crazy.
And no, I like the Calgary. I don't like the gold on the Oilers.
I
don't know.
The only person I'm aware of who likes the Oilers setup like that looks good. But I wouldn't want it like
pants
all the time.
Look not
doesn't
one
work.
Of these things doesn't belong.
I agree that it definitely stands out.
The Flames whites are some of the nicest jerseys in the league.
No argument.
And the Oilers blue, like that. The aesthetics are gorgeous, so just wear your normal jersey. So, anyways, go ahead with your actual hockey point.
Can't believe we started this.
I know, it's hours off to a bad start.
It drives me crazy. Can no, tell, it's my fault.
Can tell fault. Young Sammy is compared
I
to
know.
Me.
I know.
All right, Leafs. Sorry, Leafs. We just did that hour. Flames just beat the Jets, Oilers, and Bruins in succession as a team that are tanking? Selling? What are they not tanking?
Well, there's, I don't know. Does Lindholm automatically, the trade for Vancouver, Lindholm automatically make you think that they're tanking? Is that?
Well, you know, Markstrom's in the news and Tanev's in the news and Hanifin's in the news.
I know.
Just feels like this is a team that we've been waiting on giving up and they just don't.
Bailing, I think for me, you have to have two or three trades that, and it does. It still feels like Calgary's heading towards that as we get to the trade deadline, but it hasn't happened yet.
No.
So I think Saturday night was just a wonderful way for a group of guys to say, you know, screw the world, man. We think we can win.
They are 5 points out of a playoff spot with a game in hand on Nashville. They've got Minnesota and St. Louis a point up on both or on them. So, you know, they're hanging around. They're not in. They're probably not going to be in. But, boy, very impressive that this team has come together. And Kadri's been great, by the way. Every time I turn on the game, it looks really nice.
It was so good Saturday night.
How did it make you feel about the other team on the ice?
It made me feel confused.
Yeah.
I'm very confused about the Oilers in general. You know, they kind of can go either way.
What a league right now. Seriously.
Yeah.
Edmonton can go and have that horrific start. Then they can go on this heater for 17 games.
16,
looking for 17, didn't get it. And then they can look like Saturday night.
I don't know. They're a 6.18 win percentage team, and it's felt like they have been both the best and worst team at some point this year.
Okay, let's welcome in Eric Francis, senior columnist, analyst with Sportsnet, and fresh off a vacation that we couldn't even find Zoom to get him on our show a week ago.
I think it was longer than a week.
2 weeks ago?
I don't know.
How are you, Eric?
If you're referring to my trip to Edmonton on the weekend, we got a problem.
Well, was the sun out? You got a terrific tan for those of you watching on our shows.
Yeah, I got it. I always forget that that's the dead giveaway that you snuck away for a week. Sorry about that.
So, hey, thanks for joining us, joining our show today. And it's coming off of a fun game Saturday night. Not sure how fun for Oiler fans, but, you know, in terms of this team and what they've been facing all year, Where was your surprise meter on the effort and at times the domination of the Oilers Saturday night? Because I saw a team that came out and battled hard and flat out beat the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, it's, you know, going into that game, the Oilers had won 8 of 9 against the Flames and 4 in a row and were dominating. And basically ever since that debacle in the playoffs where they won 4 straight and, you know, kind of humiliated the Flames in the playoffs. It's been a one-way street in the Battle of Alberta. But, The other side of the coin is where I wasn't totally shocked. I mean, it's always surprising to go in that building and win convincingly. But the other thing is the Flames had just come off of wins over, really impressive wins over Boston and over Winnipeg, like two other, I would say, juggernauts in the National Hockey League. And that's kind of been the story of the Calgary Flames season. They've beaten pretty much all the best teams in the National Hockey League and beaten a lot of them soundly. It's the consistency that's the problem with the Calgary Flames, and you just never know which team is going to show up. Now they've won three in a row against really good teams, and I think everyone in Calgary is just waiting for them to lose three in a row now against lesser teams. LA is the next up, and they're not exactly a lesser team, but the point is this team's lost a lot of games this year to the San Jose's, the Chicago's, the teams that you have to beat to make the playoffs.
Eric, is it a foregone conclusion that they're going to sell?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't matter if they just keep winning?
Yeah. And I think it helps a little bit explain why they haven't made the move yet. I think they are going to wait till the very last minute to maximize return, to get a bidding war going. I mean, they're controlling the trade market, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they've got four more games between now and the trade deadline. That means Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev, one of the best shutdown pairings the NHL, can play four more games theoretically for the Flames. You know, it's going to be gutting in that dressing room when those two guys are gone. It's going to be a big, big loss. But, you know, this organization knows it needs to do it. And I don't even think the fan base debates. Like, they're excited about those guys getting traded, even though they're beloved players in this market. It's those, you know, those two are gone for sure. I'm not convinced Markstrom's going to get traded by the trade deadline. I think he's a summertime deal when you can have a whole lot of other bidders and teams with more cap space and teams that realize that they lost in the playoffs because they didn't have a goalie. So those two guys are gone for sure. I'm not sure if the extent will go much further than that, but you can bet on the defenseman leaving for sure.
Should they play? Should they play these four games? Isn't that a bit of a risk given the way a guy like Tanev plays?
Yeah, Tanev's the concern. I mean, Hanifin's not as much of a concern, but yeah, Tanev, I think he's second in the league in blocks and definitely first in the league in blocks with his face and his teeth. So yeah, it's a concern every time he goes out there, and it's a concern every time he goes down the tunnel with a bit of a bump or bruise. And every time he comes back, you just kind of exhale if you're a Flames fan. But you know, this is a league, and I'm proud that this is a league that doesn't tolerate load management, this garbage that the NBA has where their stars sit out just because, well, just because they want to rest. And I understand the rationale in the NBA, but I'm glad the NFL or the NHL frowns on it. And I'm glad that it's not a common practice in the NHL. So, no, I'm not in support of sitting these guys unless you've got a deal that really does look like it's coming down within the next 24 hours. Then I'm okay with it. But otherwise, I'm not all for it.
We're talking to Eric Francis, senior columnist, analyst with Sportsnet. Does a terrific job covering the Calgary Flames. Eric, is it safe to say that Tanev would have been gone already if teams would hit Calgary's mark here, and we assume it's a first rounder they're trying for, and no one's biting right now?
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, I do think he probably would have been gone by now, because I think there are a handful of teams that are happy to cough up a second rounder and another. I think it's a two-part deal to get Tanev. I mean, he's in that much in demand. I think there are a lot of teams willing to pay the second rounder, but not the first rounder. And I think the Calgary Flames are just happy to wait around, waiting for someone to sweeten the pot to that first rounder or a second rounder and a prospect and maybe a little bit more. You know, there's a bidding war going on for Chris Tanev right now. There's no question about it. And with that in mind, it's smart for the Calgary Flames to just sit and wait for guys to stumble all over themselves and eventually cough up something even more.
Is that the main reason why the Leafs can't get in on Tanev? Is they have no second rounder, or maybe still a little bitter feelings between the Flames and Brad Treliving?
You know, if you're the Calgary Flames ownership group and you have a chance to trade this guy to anybody in the league, and your general manager comes and says, yeah, you know that guy who walked out the door last year and kind of left us high and dry to a degree, maybe we don't deal with him. Listen, I think that might be a small part of it. I think Conroy's scared to deal with the guy who kind of mentored him to a degree. Scared's not the word, but I think there's a real fear, guys. You guys know, if you make a trade with the Toronto Maple Leafs and you end up losing that trade, and or if the Leafs go on to win the Stanley Cup, that trade is remembered forever and ever and ever, and you're forever tied to that misstep. So I think that there's a little bit of a hesitance to deal with the Leafs. But the big reason, guys, is because the Leafs don't have the assets, or they're not willing to part with the assets that the Calgary Flames are looking for.
Is there anyone else? Well, teams are looking at the Flames and trying to go, ooh, who would we like? Who could we get our hands on from that roster that maybe people don't see coming? Would Rasmus Anderson probably be impossible to pull off the roster? Any other names that you could see being up for grabs?
You know, this is the part of the program I hate. Like, if I throw out names, then it starts rumors that guys are out of town. You know what? I don't really see an obvious one. Yeah. The only guy that I could see in there, because he's only got 1 year left in his deal, is Andrew Mangiapane. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure what the market is for Andrew Mangiapane. But there are a lot of teams that would like his feistiness and the fact that, sorry, my puppy just scared me. you know, that Andrew Mangiapane is the only guy I could kind of maybe see in there. But again, I don't want to start rumors and suggest, but I just, when you look at cap friendly and you see a guy who's got 1 year left and you know, okay, well, this is a rebuilding club and maybe he does or doesn't fit into their plans. If a team is looking for more players and make this a bigger deal, maybe he's the kind of guy you can include in it. I'm not sure. And I think they've also looked at very hard at trying to get, you know, trade Dan Vladar to make room for Dustin Wolf. But that's been proven to be a tough contract to move because he's making $2.2 million. He's a backup and he's played quite well this year, but his numbers don't reflect that.
I don't think Noah Hanifin's 2 goals and an assist hurt his chances of being traded here, but are you one of those that think it added to the pot here? And where do you think he ultimately ends up? Is it a trade and sign? Is it a rental here? Are teams undecided here still on Hanifin?
I can't imagine teams are undecided on him. I mean,
no, just in terms of what they're going to give, like there's a different price for a rental than there is if you're going to sign them.
You know, what's really interesting about that question, Kipper, is that when they traded Lindholm, I was very surprised to hear from Craig Conroy that only one team asked to speak to Lindholm's representative to talk about the possibility of an extension. Everybody else who was bidding for Lindholm, and there were more than a handful of teams, they were all completely happy with him just being a pure rental. I can't imagine that's the case with Hanifin. And I think that's maybe part of why this is going to take right to the deadline, in my opinion, is because a lot of teams do want to talk to Hanifin and see if he sees it as a fit in the market that they're in for a long-term sign and trade for 8 years or whatever the case may be. I would be very, very surprised if it wasn't a sign and trade for the full 8 years. And he goes to a city that he really wants to go to. And if I had to guess one place that I thought Noah Hanifin would end up, I'd put my money on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, they lost Sergachev, and they, you know, he's kind of a really good replacement for a guy like Sergachev. They were looking for defensemen before Sergachev was injured. So I think Hanifin's also a guy who's probably had a lot of conversations with Matthew Tkachuk about how good it is to play hockey in the state of Florida. So I think all these things combined, that's what I think the front runner is. The question is, do they have the assets, or are they willing to find the assets to come up with a deal for a guy like Hanifin?
So when you have a team that is expected to sell, and, you know, I think they have been for some time, but they just keep winning, who are the bright spots there right now? I look through that roster and I see guys like Uyghur and Sharon Govich and even Ryan Huska, you know, kind of taking over from Sutter. Where do you place the credit for, I guess, what you would call marginal success in the face of expectations?
You know, the guy who's got to be right near the top of the list is Nazem Kadri. I mean, you know, he's playing at a point of game ever since, I think, game 8. He's really taken over this. You know, a lot of people wondered, what is this team going to do now that it doesn't have a number one center after they traded Lindholm? And ever since then, he's even stepped up his game even more. And he's done it all season long. All season long, he has centered a line with rookies on either side of him. That's quite a feather in your cap. And I think it's a statement from Nazem Kadri that, you know, around the league, people have always seen me as a really good number two. I helped Colorado win a Stanley Cup as a really good number two. I think he sees himself as a number one center in the league, and he's proving it right now in Calgary. Blake Coleman has also been incredible this year. Jacob Markstrom is the reason they're still in the race. There are a lot of guys that have stood up. You know, there's an obscure stat. The Flames have 9 players with 30 or more points this year. Only one team has more. I think it's Dallas. And again, we can read into that whatever we want, but it points to the depth and the fact that they've done it as a team. So those guys are spearheading this charge, but there are a lot of unsung heroes. Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil, two raw rookies that most people around the league never heard of, they're playing a major role in this too.
Really so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zary's
yeah.
fun to watch. And but that's energy, right?
Yeah.
Youth and energy. Yeah, in terms of Markstrom now, we still see, I know how you feel about the summer, but I just want to revisit it for a second because he is in the height of his career right now. He's not 30, 31. He's an older guy. L.A., and I don't know how you feel about New Jersey. New Jersey's how many points back? I don't know. It might be even too late, a full 7 points back out of a wild card spot. But I for the life of me, I don't understand why there isn't a bidding war between these two clubs to get a goalie.
You nailed it. 7 points out. I just wrote a column on this on sportsnet.ca about, you know, is it too late for Jersey to go out and get that goalie? Like, you know, I have no doubt that if they don't get Markstrom, you know, by the trade deadline, I have no doubt that they'll be the front runners to resume talks in the summer to get Markstrom because he's got two more years left on his contract. And that's clearly the ingredient that the New Jersey Devils are missing. So I think the part of the problem is I don't really think that you have a bidding war going on right now. Yeah, there are a handful of contenders around the league that would probably love to upgrade their goaltender to a guy like Markstrom. But is it their number one priority or do they have the assets to do it? No. So in the absence of a bidding war, I don't think you're going to get anything done. Because why would the Flames trade him for anything less than the massive asking price they're looking for? There's no rush on this one. And that's the way I've seen Markstrom all along. Would he help everybody? Sure. Is he the hottest hand in the league right now? He's one of the top 3 or 4 goalies in the league right now. I really believe that, the way he's played this year. But it doesn't seem like many people are stepping up to try and land him.
Yeah, a consistent run towards the end of the season would sure help out whatever they could do in the summer. You know, I look at the cap-friendly page for the Flames, and I see a lot of draft picks. Like, they are fairly well-stocked. They have a couple of good young players. What is a realistic sort of timeline for this team to get back to a more competitive place?
When's the new building going to be ready?
Is that the plan?
Well, I think that stands to reason. I mean, they're looking to break ground right after Stampede this year in the summer. You tell me how long it takes to build anything these days. It's always probably a year more than you think it's going to be. They're targeting 3 years from now. I think that's a bit of a pipe dream. But generally, in and around 2 or 3 years from now, they're hoping this team is really starting to grow with a bunch of these youngsters that you're talking about. They've already got a pretty good base of youngsters. Conroy's done a phenomenal job accruing more draft picks. They're going to continue to do that over the next couple of weeks. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think that by the time this new building opens, this will be a team on a serious upswing, no problem.
Are faces like Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau, do you see those faces in a new building?
I see Kadri, I see Huberdeau. Yeah, I do. But to that point, what I'll say is, you know, Huberdeau's contract is pretty untradeable. I think that stands to reason. He's a point-a-game guy since Christmas this year. He's really turned it around. Like, he deserves a lot of – he's a point-a-game guy again since Christmas. But that price tag, $10.5 million, that's a pretty untradeable contract at this point in time and probably for the next 3 or 4 years. I think he'll be around. And I think he actually is an important part of their leadership group. He is a big presence in that room, and he's a really classy guy and in the face of this franchise. But Kadri, the narrative early in this season was that's an untradeable contract too. And I beg to differ. I bet you there are a ton of teams right now that would absolutely kill to have him back there as a number two guy, including Colorado. So I don't think he's untradeable. I think he could be tradable. But they also may see him as the guy who wants to spearhead this rebuild because so far he's been phenomenal with the kids.
So you had a chance to watch the world's most unpredictable team, the Edmonton Oilers, on Saturday night. What were your impressions of what's going on there?
Well, the knock on them of late since they wrapped up that 16-game winning streak was that they don't put together more than 40 minutes on any given night. On Saturday, I'm not sure they put in more than 10 minutes. So it's a situation where unpredictability is kind of scary for them. It's the inconsistency that every team goes through to some degree, but they're now experiencing it, you know, of late. I'm not really worried about the Oilers. Even when they were in that incredible funk at the beginning of the season, hands up all those who were really, really worried and thinking they weren't going to make the playoffs. So I really do feel like this is one of the teams. I'll put Florida in that same basket. It's really all about building for the playoffs. So go on a 2 or 3 game losing skid right now. I don't think it's anything to worry about. As long as you feel like there are a lot of things moving in the right directions and you're staying healthy as you go into the playoffs, then I don't worry about the Oilers. But on Saturday night, they weren't just the second best team. They were completely undressed by the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. Eric, we just spoke moments ago about a Calgary-Toronto possible trade, and if that's realistic, how about a Calgary-Edmonton trade for Tanev? There's a lot of talk that maybe they'd like to move Cody Ceci back and throw Tanev up there with Darnell Nurse to give them a different look. How realistic is that?
I don't think it's very realistic. I really don't. I mean, like I said, there's bidding wars going on for Chris Tanev right now.
And Edmonton would be in it. They'd be crazy not to be in it.
Well, I think Edmonton's interested. There's no question about it. He's exactly what they need. But I would say Tanev's exactly what about 10 teams that are heading into the playoffs need. So, again, all things being equal or close to being equal, you look as a management group at one another and say, are we really going to go help the Oilers and maybe give them someone who we may not play them in the playoffs this year because we not make the playoffs, but what if he re-signs in Edmonton? I don't know. It would be pretty shocking. There haven't been a lot of trades over the years between the Flames and the Oilers for good reason. I can't see him being the one guy that, Conroy decides, we'll just let this one slide and we'll trade with Edmonton. I remember, Conroy played in the Battle of Alberta for a lot of years. His hatred for the Oilers runs pretty deep.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. I just, last one is also on Tanev. What do you think about where his career arc is and is heading? Like, if a team re-signs him for 4 years, do you feel like he's going to be able to sustain some level of play given the way he plays?
Listen, when the Flames acquired this guy 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was from the Canucks, I'd heard he was a broken player, not the player he used to be, and he won't be very good. He'll be like a Giordano Light, somebody called him. This guy's been unbelievable. I mean, Rasmus Anderson said he should be the only untradeable guy on our team. He's not important to our team. I think the Flames would have signed him already if he would have agreed to a 2-year extension. I think everybody's happy with that. He's 34 right now, but I think that he's looking, and I don't blame him, he's got the cachet right now to sign a 4-year deal. So how does that look in years 3 and 4? I think, I think there's concern or reason to be concerned given the way he plays. But I also think that if that's the price you have to pay to get a warrior like that and help you for a run now and or help you down the road to mentor young players, then I think a lot of teams would be willing to pay it. People will pay it. He will sign a 4-year deal this summer, and I don't think they're going to regret it much at all.
And it's going to put a lot more bank in his pocket, I can tell you that. He's not one of those guys that, you think you're going to steal at $2.5 or $3 million at the end of his career. This guy's going to command a pretty big buck this summer.
I can't speak highly enough about this guy on and off the ice. Players absolutely love him. And again, I think there could have been a very good argument to keep him in Calgary if he would have stayed for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Because even if you're completely rebuilding and you know you're not going near the playoffs anytime soon, there's no better guy in that room to teach youngsters in terms of what it takes to win in the National Hockey League and what it takes to be a professional. So somebody's going to land a guy who's going to make a major impact in their room right away and for many years.
Eric, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time. And we're going to be leaning right back on you as we head towards the trade deadline, especially with the Calgary Flames playing front and center in the next 10 days or so. Thanks for doing this, pal.
You guys touch base anytime. And just a heads up, we're in Florida during the trade deadline. So, and that's not a holiday. It doesn't count as a holiday.
Nice. Okay.
It's a work anytime. Trip.
Got it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just if it makes you feel better, I've got a small puppy up here named Sammy who scares me as well.
Well, then he's not small. He's like, you know, there he is.
Oh, look at the little burner. Oh, what a beaut.
Oh. Turner the burner.
Yeah, love it. All right, pal. Thanks for doing this. Eric, what's your dog's name?
Anytime.
Turner?
Turner the burner.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I didn't catch that. Turner the burner.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Eric.
Just to touch on Tanev, like the one thing that teams want as much as anything on the ice is his presence in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. That is at an absolute premium. And you're paying for it.
So how has no one paid a first for this? Am I out of my mind? I'm listening to this going, no one wants to give him a first. The Leafs' first is like 25th or something.
That's what they're waiting for.
Well, in a bad draft.
They're waiting. If Brad Treliving throws him a first,
how you really feel.
They get him. They get him.
What's that?
If Brad Treliving throws him a first right now, I think he gets him. So, because you don't risk losing a first.
The reputation on Treliving coming to Toronto, when you asked a lot of people in Calgary, was that in on everything, but never really happened. Like a lot of like you hear, because he talks to everyone. He's a well-liked guy in a lot of conversations, you know, didn't pull the trigger a ton. If you find out as a Leaf fan that Tanev goes to pick your team, it's going to be a competitor for a pick that's around in the 20s and your team didn't do it because you were waiting for what? To talk him into a second you don't have? What could they, you know what I mean? Like, I think it would be a frustrating moment for them and something they wouldn't forget quickly.
I think the age.
Well, that's a different thing. If they don't think that he's going to be a good player for the next few years, that's fine. I can live with that assessment, but not we didn't want to spend a late first.
I'm with you. I don't think there's a team out there that need him more than the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, like I did the Leafs playoff lineup in an article last week, and I just put him in there to see the difference of what it does to everyone's spot, like where it puts guys, and it just slots the minute left. They don't have a guy that you want to get over the boards to, you know, throw his face in front of a puck. It was TJ Brody. Give me Tanev every time.
No true shutdown guy.
No true shutdown.
McCabe's come on a little bit, but
lovely.
Tanev would change it, but he'd change it for 10 other teams. That's the
Which
amount.
Why there's the supply, demand. There's no supply. There's some demand.
There's few times at the trade deadline when there is a guy out there that is just like the right legitimately thing. Perfect for your squad.
Can I say a scary thing about that?
Yes.
Nick Foligno was that. He was a perfect fit for what they did. Leadership, you know, grindy, could finish.
You play that out 10 times.
It plays better the
There's
other
no
nine.
Way it goes worse than it did.
Yeah, and I know I mentioned this briefly too, but there's also the component that he's going to command probably around $5 million a year on a maybe.
You getting a cut? This number keeps
years.
Going up.
No, it's always at five.
Five?
Yeah.
I don't want five. Five's too
high. I know.
Now,
there's some teams that would not like that. So now giving up,
I guess
whether it's the Leafs
it
or anyone else, are you going to give up a first round pick for a mid 30-year-old defenseman?
All
with
you're
wear
saying
and tear.
Is that I prefer to have Chris Tanev than TJ Brody. That's the statement you're making, which Brad Treliving has made before. So,
yeah,
very possible.
Game time.
Game time.
Game time.
All right, it's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, the latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So four on the ice tonight, as I'm pulling them up here, but a particularly good one. LA and Edmonton tonight. Edmonton's been, you know, a little inconsistent here of late. Mm-hmm. Kings have been coming on. This is always a good game when these two teams play. Plus 130 for the LA Kings if you think they got a shot heading into Edmonton. Edmonton's probably pretty hungry after getting embarrassed by the Flames on their home ice. You could sell me on both sides of this, but I think I would like the Oilers at minus 155 in this matchup.
You like the Oilers?
I do.
I like the Kings. Did you see the McDavid clip about the
not
goals
Pat,
thing?
Yeah.
He's wants
gun
to
shooting.
See how many assists he can get this year.
Yeah, I think he had 9 straight games without a goal, and he says he's just going to try to get assists now, which is very funny. He had good, it was very light, and I enjoyed that he seems more comfortable this year.
This guy's going full Vince Carter. Stop dunking.
Stop dunking.
He's just going to stop scoring.
Is that what Carter did?
Oh, yeah. You don't remember that?
I don't remember
that. Oh, this is part of the reason he's so heavily booed. He's just he tapped out.
Okay. Not to get on Raptors' side here, but when people...
Are people forgetting that he dumped on the city?
People are way too... Like, I went to a Raptors game, and there's people out front being like, retired 15. She came up to me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're too young. That's what it is. It's like a whole generation of people that see the numbers, see the slam dunk comp, and like...
But to her point, this hurt will pass, and what he did was real.
No, not... To people who were like between 12 and 20 during that time, never forget. Never forget. I can't stand Vince Carter. If they retire his number, I'm done being a Raptor fan. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And the other matchup that I'm looking at tonight, Barney, your poor Islanders. Not looking so hot.
No.
Heading into Dallas, and I got to tell you, I like the Dallas by -1.5.
Tell you what, if the Isles get drubbed in Dallas tonight, it's going to change the path of the season, and they're going to be sellers here. They should probably now, but deadline sellers.
I do just get back on McDavid for a little bit here. So what, it's 9 games he hasn't scored?
I think so.
He's got like 21 assists. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to have a different look of him tonight.
You think I'm going to bet goal?
I think his top priority is to push it over the goal line today.
Since the All-Star break, he has 1 goal in 12 games.
Yeah, if you want an anytime Connor McDavid goal, it is +105 tonight. So there you go, a little bit of plus money. And the last thing I'll bring up here, I'm just looking at these lines. The Ottawa Senators are a -140 favorite against the Washington Capitals. Don't love the Sens at a -140 favorite over anyone, but they've been hot. The Capitals stink. They could win, but... It's a big number.
Yeah. By the way, looking at this McDavid game log, here's his assists. 6-3-1-2-2-2-2.
Six.
Yeah.
He's a dishing magician.
Oh, yeah.
He's Tidomi.
Anything on Islanders in Dallas? Is this the game that makes the Islanders complete sellers after tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They're deep in the pit, my friend. They are currently 9 points out of a playoff spot. Now, granted, they have a few games at hand on the team that holds that spot down. Actually, 3. It's Tampa Bay, but it's a big climb from here with only 25 games left. You lose a couple more.
She gone. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, the latest odds, to find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break because when we come back, we got so much in the news and notes around the NHL. Matthew Rempe is taking
the
league by storm.
Could you say he's on a rampage?
Hands.
That, yeah.
We got Sid Crosby getting emotional. We got Chelly's retirement with Cindy Crawford nailing a 100-foot shot. Did you see that?
I love this. Kane doesn't get a mention, but Cindy Crawford did. That's a promo right there.
Canucks taking calls on Pedersen.
Oh, good Lord. What'd you say? Is that?
I don't know. That's Elliot. Didn't Elliot mention something Saturday night?
We need more time.
Wow, have we got a ton to still get into. Don't go away.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, we were mentioning before the break. Not since Hamilton have we seen a Broadway hit like Matt Rempe.
That's really good, Kip.
Yeah. You practice that one in the mirror?
That's a really good line. I like that.
Don't try this at home. I'm a professional.
Wow. Oh, but hey, straight up, this guy has people's attention. I mean, we played his clip, Matt Martin, giving him the fight night one.
Mm.
Night two of his career, he goes out and destroys.
Yeah. We'll give it some background for a lot of people that maybe just didn't watch on the weekend. The New York Rangers have a young player in their lineup, Matt Rempe, who was like a 7th-round pick. He's 21 years of age. basically just got called up. He's played four career games.
He is 6'8", 240.
He's 6'8", 240, and throws with both hands and feet.
And nunchucks.
He's 32 PIMs in five games.
He game two, he destroys Bastion, tries to fight Siegenthaler after fighting Martin. Game three, he fights Nick DeLaurier. Game four, he fights Olivier. The heaviest of heavies in the NHL.
And the big attention was the fight with Nick DeLaurier Saturday afternoon, which ran viral beyond belief. This was something that you could Google over the course of the history of fights in the NHL, and it could easily match with a lot of them.
Ooh, buddy.
And we're talking haymakers beyond
slugfest
belief.
Slugfest.
You know, there were, and we'll get into this, but like, he wears a few and DeLaurier wears a few,
yeah,
and neither of them are fazed, yeah, by the punches they are receiving.
Well,
and they just kept
and chucking. Part of that viral was people saying, could this be the best fight like in a decade?
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely a contender.
Yet. He comes off Saturday against the Flyers, faces Columbus.
In a back-to-back.
24 hours later, he takes on another tough guy in Matthew Olivier from Columbus. And this one, he probably didn't fare as well.
No.
Took a few more, which have a lot of people also saying, okay, someone's got to pull the reins in on this kid.
Yeah, you can't just go fight 82 times here, which seems to be the plan.
too
quick.
Olivier filled him in.
Yeah, he got a bad grab on Olivier.
No, it did not.
He was inside.
Go well.
Two thoughts on this. One is that we used to say with like hockey fighting and all the dangers, players didn't know what they were getting into, right? And like concussions were a thing and it was a big worry at the time, whatever. People know now. This is a grown 21-year-old guy. He's making a choice. Yeah. This is what he wants to do. So I'm done with that conversation because we know now that you can't claim you're unaware of the risks you've accepted. He chooses to do this. The next thing is that it is really, really bad for you to get hit in the head this often. And the Rangers want this guy in the lineup. They can't let him do this, Kip.
I totally agree with you just in terms of too much too soon, and let's not get this kid hurt, and let's not have a scenario where you didn't have a chance to kind of bring this guy along. He just threw him to the wolves as a... You don't want him getting hurt. I can't believe for one second that he wasn't feeling any effects from his Saturday fight to go do it again Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where the Rangers were in on that conversation of there's another tough guy over there, Olivier.
We don't need you.
Go
to
fight
do
him. Yeah. Don't go fight him. Where were the veterans around him to say, hey, listen, you know, again, in my era, if I ever felt like I needed to fight and I wasn't feeling great from another fight 24 hours later, there'd be three or four of my teammates to go, okay, you're not you tonight. Yeah. I've got this one. You don't have to feel like you need to do this, and we've got your back. That's not the case, as we know, for most lineups now.
Yeah.
That there is only one guy on each team. If, in fact, you do have one named Ryan Reeves or Rempe now.
Well, the problem is it does feel a little bit of the sideshow to it where, like, you know, he is burst onto the scene. And if you're Olivier, both him and DeLaurier talk to him in warmups. There's videos of both of them stretching beside the red line saying, hey. And so it's almost like this kid's running the gauntlet. Like everyone, there's a new kid on the scene that he wants to check all these guys off. Yeah, I fought him, and they all want to say, hey, you know.
This is the way these tough guys did come in, though, right?
They came in like that.
Like that.
Yeah.
And they had their checklist, and they knew it, and they would talk to guys. Craig Berube, I came up with him in Hershey together, and I would watch him size up their tough guy or, you know, made it crystal clear, don't F around tonight or I'm all over you. Mm-hmm. So this guy is as old school as I've ever seen to come in and want to make a presence like this. I don't think we've seen in 20 years a guy have a presence, a physical presence like this.
And he scored. He had one go in off his toe cap or knee or whatever.
But the Rangers and some of his teammates have to also kind of pull the reins in a little bit and say, we don't want you to get hurt, and we don't want you to suffer concussions. And, you know, there's – for me, he did so much Saturday night to get people's attention to –
You're on form, the scene.
Form a reputation already.
Yep.
You don't need that second fight against Columbus.
Yeah.
You didn't need it. But
it may be he wanted
it
to do this.
He wanted it.
Yeah.
And they play Columbus again Wednesday.
Which how much pressure now will he feel to go with a revenge fight?
And then leave Saturday, Reeves.
Now he comes in.
And then what?
And then the Panthers.
Saturday night, Canadian kid comes in on hockey night in Canada. You're telling me now
he's Canadian?
I think he's from Calgary, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Alberta.
So now he's hockey night in Canada?
Yeah.
Listen, Reeves.
He's fighting.
Bring him in.
Better get ready.
Reeves
hasn't fought in a while.
I mean, this kid is make no mistake, he's hit everyone he fought. Olivier was bleeding at the end of the fight he lost.
Same with DeLaurier.
His forehead was heavily
dented. Let me tell you something. This is a 21-year-old going against 27 and 33. He's fighting DeLaurier, who's been around for 12 years, and he's 33.
He's fought more than anyone in the NHL over the last 5 years, DeLaurier.
This Rempe's like Clifford the Big Red Dog, okay?
He's just
a big puppy.
It reminds me of Chara, because, you know, Chara, when he came in for the Islanders, was just like, he was Gumby. Eventually he figured himself out and started fighting.
If this guy just can not get himself hurt between now and maybe a year and a half, 2 years, he's going to get free reign anywhere he goes on the ice.
Yeah.
And he can play a bit too. He scored a couple of levels. So
can skate, like work on getting a puck out off the wall, getting it in deep, getting a good forecheck going. You start developing that with the fact that you love doing this. I can't believe for 1 second someone would have 3 fights in 4 games and not absolutely love it.
I guess.
That's the challenge.
Kip, I don't even know what the concept of loving fighting
is. Oh, no. There's some guys that just live for it.
And
Ty Domi lived for confrontation. Like,
I remember asking you, Ty Domi would pull guys. You're like, yes.
Ty Domi would pull guys out of cars in Windsor in junior and would be like, look at the rest of his guys and go, like, is this the toughest you got right now? Really? Really? That's it, you guys?
Yeah.
That's all you brought on a Friday night in Windsor? This guy?
Good Lord.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, he does seem to... I'm curious to know if they're not going to put an arm around him and go, we want you to be a Ranger for the next 8 years.
Yes, that arm has to come around.
Yeah.
Hope he fights on Saturday, though.
Do you want to see him fight Reeves?
It is
quite
remarkable, though, like the ripple effect that it has around, like, it's not a skilled goal. It's not a Michigan. It's not an anything. And then this thing has the ability to go as viral as anything else out there.
The NHL does not want to lose this. There's still a
demand for
of
this.
Of course. And the one game he didn't fight, he left the guy sitting on the ground like an extra in a war movie.
Oh, yeah. What a first impression.
Lots of human.
Where do you want to go? You know, Sid Crosby, he's doing everything he can. I cannot believe.
Is that as big as Chelios and Kane?
No.
Okay, let's go Chelios.
I'm worried about time.
All right, right. Chelios. Okay, Chelios. Retired last night. It was star-studded, having his jersey retired in Chicago. He probably never thought that would happen since he left and joined forces with the Detroit Red Wings. Kind of ironic that it's up against Patrick Kane.
Coming back.
Let's have a listen to Chelios yesterday.
While we're on the subject of great ones from that era, I got to include him. This guy will go down as the greatest American-born player. Kaner, Patrick Kane, unbelievable. And don't worry, it'll work out in the end. You'll be standing here, same as me.
But just be careful. Don't go stealing my thunder today, okay? I got money on the board to shut you down.
He lost that
what
money.
First of all, I love that he said he has money on the board. That's all, because I bet he did.
Yes.
He also said in another quote that getting traded to Chicago was the best day of his life. That, you know, he showed out the Habs, but said it was the best day of his life getting traded to Chicago and all that stuff. But, I mean, Kane.
OT winner back in Chicago. He broke Mrazek on that breakaway.
And it was a long breakaway. Let the anticipation
build. Everyone got to see it was Kane. Like, everyone was involved in that.
Shoots it under the bar and screams showtime at the crowd. That's as good as it gets. That's
it was
as good
really
as
good.
It gets.
I mean, that's out of a movie.
Yeah, it really is.
I will say, though, that Connor Bedard probably should have got off the ice when he broke his stick.
Yeah. Well, hey, also, I will say, Kane's decision.
Only you.
Minute and a half, he's out there. Kid, get off the ice, kid.
Get Entwistle out there in a 3-on-3.
The play Kane makes to go on the breakaway is a terrible play. A terrible play. Chicago's on a 3-on-2.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm not going to get there. He turns back. And he was going to leave his team to play 3-on-2 on the off chance they got it next, and they got it next.
All three of those guys were, like, almost touching the goal line. So all it took was just one little
guy just batted it up.
Batted out, and he's gone.
Yeah, he slowed it down like a shootout. And, man, Peter Mrazek again. Yeah. His poor
moment.
Biting
fun
on
moment.
That first
phase. So when I first
Kane's been awesome.
Yeah, he's over
really good.
Game.
When I first broke in the league, I thought I was going to make a name for myself and challenge Chelly to a fight.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I started working him over behind the net. He's like, What are you doing?
Greeks.
I'm Greek. He goes, hey. And then he says to me on the ice, and my dad loves you. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, okay. didn't fight.
Win him over
didn't
with a little
fight.
Soft praise.
I can't
no, you're
fight
right.
a guy Not whose dad
anymore.
Loves me and is
no.
Greek.
No, that's the right choice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, don't you know about the fraternity?
That's right. There's not many of us in this league. Let's stick together.
Chelios had a absurd career for how long he played, but maybe the greatest contribution he gave to hockey was the mic'd up in the UHL clip. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
But it was during the lockout. He went down and played for, like, in the IHL.
Dude, he played until he was 47.
But, like, during the lockout, he went down there. Oh, the UHL. He played for the Motor City Mechanics. You've never seen this video?
Maybe.
And there's like a just dusty guy in the UHL that's just chirping him, telling him he's hitting the tanning bed. Oh my God, I can't believe you've never seen this video.
I think I have.
It's one of the best all time.
Didn't Babcock bench him?
Yes.
In the outdoor game?
And he may or may not have had a...
No, he did.
Had a
beer.
Or two
he had, so he just had... I think he had his kid bring him a few beers. Might as well enjoy it with this... People in the stands.
I love that. What's the, does he say like a devastating line or something in the clip?
I'm not going to try. A lot of swearing. It's just very funny.
Yeah.
But he makes fun of him for being down there. 266 playoff games for Chelios. 1,600 regular season.
Career if it's regular
Elliot Friedman on Saturday night mentioned Pettersson.
He said he's definitely traded. Asked for a trade, Elliot said. I'm making that up. I'm kidding.
Are people panicking?
People are panicking because he said they're listening to calls, but... They have an RFA who hasn't signed, so of course people are calling and they're listening to those calls.
Okay, not much there.
I have a...
What?
Don't tell our Vancouver... The fact that we saved this to 5:53... Our Vancouver listeners are panicking about this, bud.
And they're not trading him. Get used to it, because Leaf fans went through it with Willie Nylander.
But that report never came out about Willie Nylander, that they were taking calls on him during the regular season when they were playing well. It's a different...
Listen, what's your interpretation of taking calls and not hanging up?
Yeah, but they're listening, Kit. He's the best player on a good team.
Of course you're going to listen. You can't tell me that the Leafs didn't take any calls on Willie Nylander either.
Of course they did, but the reports weren't... I'm just saying, my Vancouver brethren, who I love so much, I know how you're panicking. I feel you.
I appreciate your passion. I think there's nothing to be worried about right now.
I do.
Well, listen... The good news, it's only Monday, and we've got the rest of the week to revisit all of this, including Sid Crosby, who continues to carry an organization on his back.
Shout out, Sid. Much love. What a career. The
man.
Golden three assists.
What are you retiring
night.
Him already?
Wow, he seems to be retiring himself. He had tears the other night.
He was talking to Tony Granato. Showed a good side of him. touching side.
Let's save it. Let's play it tomorrow.
Okay. Enjoy your games tonight. We're back tomorrow. Real Kipper and Bourne.